Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. We talk a lot about the historic liturgy here on Issues Etc. In fact, we're currently doing a series on it in great detail. We might leave the impression that it's just a Sunday morning in the chancel kind of a thing, but of course, it finds its way out of the chancel. Its proper home there is with the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. But those are the living word of God in its various forms, and those live in the lives of God's people. So it's not a surprise to find the historic liturgy in your home, in your family. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday, February the 2nd, we're going to talk about liturgical living. Kristen Einertsen is wife of a seminarian and mother of an infant son. She's a PhD student in rhetoric at the University of Minnesota and author of the blog All the Household. Kristen, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
We're going to use this term liturgical living. What is it?
So liturgical living is just the act of following the church's liturgical calendar in the home and then ensuring that the patterns of household life are modeled after the pattern of the church's year. And in this way, living into the church's seasons and following those prayers, lessons, traditions of the church's services and using those along with some of the household traditions that Christians have developed over the course of centuries to inspire the ways in which you pray in the home, teach the faith to your children, and celebrate the saints' days throughout the years. You know, as Lutherans, I think we have a special relationship to the liturgy because we know it's not only part of our church's heritage, but is also a treasure that's been given to us from God and contains His word and helps us center our lives around the saving acts of Him. In this sense, liturgical living is just another way for us to center our lives and meditate more fully on what God's done for us.
So why does the liturgy that we ordinarily find in the church belong in the home?
So liturgy and the church year belong in the home because they're the gifts that the Lord has given us to help model our lives after Him and His people. In this way, it's not just something that's for life within the congregations, but should also form our own personal prayer and faith lives and the ways in which we pass that faith down to our children.
So you spend some time in Latvia. What did you learn there about liturgical living?
Yeah, when I was living in Riga and attending the Lutheran churches there, I really began to notice the ways in which Lutherans in countries other than the U.S. seemed to hold the liturgy that had been passed down to them near and dear to their hearts. Even as someone who grew up within the Missouri Synod, a lot of the traditions and celebrations were new to me. I wasn't familiar with Saints' Days or some of the lesser-known feast days. Yet I could tell that these holy days were important to the Latvians and the Lutheran church there, perhaps because of the persecution that they had endured during the past century and the way that they held fast to the Christian faith during this time. I also became more familiar with the ways in which their society still acknowledged a lot of the saints' days and the increased popularity that they have within the country, things like how they celebrate St. Martin's Day or the Feast of St. John the Baptist. And in this way, I saw connections between both the church and broader society. But it made me curious why other Christian cultures around the world have kept these traditions, but why the Lutheran communities and family statesides maybe haven't. And so when I came back to the U.S., I really had an increased interest in this area and just started to ask more and more questions of my pastor about these days and started to do my own research on the historical background of the traditions associated with them.
So give us a few examples of what this liturgical living looks like day by day in the home.
So liturgical living doesn't have to take one specific form, and there's really not just one way to do it. It can be as simple as regularly attending church with your family and then saying the morning, evening, and mealtime prayers from the catechism. It can also look like following the readings in the Treasury of Daily Prayer and then using that experience to try to help educate yourself and your family more about the church's calendar and the saints who have gone before us in the faith. It can also look like adding some of the celebrations of the folk traditions into your own home, as I've already mentioned, whether that might be finding or making activities that relate to the saint or feast day that you're trying to commemorate, or then even looking at the ways in which the church and her people have historically celebrated those days in the past. For me, that's the really fun part because there are so many ways in which these days have been commemorated throughout the church's history, including things like eating barbecue on St. Lawrence's Day or giving gifts on St. Nicholas's Day, a tradition that many of us are familiar with. And so you'll certainly find something for almost every day in the LSB calendar.
You had mentioned giving gifts. I think a lot of people don't realize that they're already, at least in part, doing some of this liturgical living already. They're celebrating Christmas not only at church, but in the home. In fact, a lot of people think about Christmas and those kind of holidays as more home than church. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons why it's so easy to involve children in these home traditions and to make them a part of the life of the church, because these things are already bridged together. I mean, one of the best things about uncovering these traditions and making them more widely accessible in your home is because they are tools for education. Like the St. Lucy Day buns, for example. I mean, kids make those historically on the day for breakfast, and what kid doesn't enjoy having a sweet treat or helping out in the kitchen? It's just a natural way to involve them in this process. And so in that way, I think that it's really wonderful to try to have kids be part of the traditions and incorporate them into the church and home life, because at the end of the day, that's the whole point of liturgical living, is to try to follow the church's feast days and fast days and help make those experiences more tangible for children.
So speaking of children, how do we connect children on Sunday morning to the church's liturgy?
Yeah, well, I think one of the most important things is to first realize that the liturgy is actually for the children. I mean, they're the reason that we have it. It's because of the repetition and the commemoration, the ceremony, everything that goes along with the liturgy is designed to help teach the faith and to help make people more familiar with it. I think when we have this attitude about the liturgy, when we realize that it's not just some adult thing that we have to take our kids to, but that it's actually for them, it'll make it that much more natural for us to connect them into the life of the church and into the life of the church in the home. And as much as the liturgy is for you, it's also for them.
You had mentioned repetition. What's the value of memorization for the faith of our children?
So memorization of things like the church's liturgy, the important prayers of the church, Bible verses, hymns, even the catechism, all these things are really crucial for making our children have robust faiths and helping raise them in the faith that we were given. I mean, at the end of the day, the challenges that we go through in life, the storms that we may face, we're not going to get through those unless we rely on the things that we have already stored away in our memory. And so if we want our children to have the same type of robust faith that we are hoping to give them and help them with these temptations and storms, I think it's important that we help them with memorization and see that that's a resource that we should help them draw on as much as possible.
I know that somebody's going to say, this sounds really difficult. How would you respond to that?
I mean, that's kind of the beautiful thing about liturgical living, is I think it's as easy or as complicated as you want to make it. And so as I already mentioned, you know, there's no perfect formula for what you have to do in the home, and it even might take some trial and error to figure out what works for you and your family. But the best part of the fact is that there are so many historic traditions and days out there that you'll certainly find something that can connect your family to the church. And I mean, this goes to even if you're bored on a Tuesday night, if you're looking for a dessert to make or a way to have your kids be part of household life, there's bound to be something in the life of the church that you can draw on. It's the same thing for if you want to celebrate one of your child's name days or baptismal birthdays. There's a tradition that you'll be able to use. And so in this way, we can try to create more consistency and congruency between church and home life and understand that the practices that come with liturgical living help us do just that.
Many families now sadly attend Lutheran congregations that have abandoned the liturgy, and so there's no access to it even in church, much less the home. What are they missing?
More than anything, I think they're really missing the foundation that the liturgy gives for understanding the faith. I mean, the liturgy of the church has grounded Christians for thousands of years. It's one of the primary ways in which we've passed on the faith to our children in the past. If you look through any of the fathers of the Lutheran church, people like Luther, Chemnitz, Gerhard, you'll find the ways that they talk, the language that they use is just dripping with words from the Gloria, the Agnus Dei, the prayers of Matins and Vespers. I mean, this liturgy has been one of the primary lenses through which Christians have viewed the faith in the past. And so given those people I just mentioned are far more educated and likely more familiar with the Christian faith than many of us will ever be, I think it makes sense to try to recall the foundation that they had and try to give that to our children, and so that they'll be able to look at the church's liturgy and the church's calendar as something that they can use in the future.
We're talking about liturgical living with Kristen Einertsen, wife of a seminarian and mother of an infant son, a PhD student in rhetoric at the University of Minnesota, and author of the blog All the Household. When we return, why should church traditions become our family traditions? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. This is the teaching of St. Peter, and this is the teaching that we continue to hold to, and yet many in our world today struggle with these claims of exclusive salvation through Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about how Lutheran doctrine compares to that of other world religions, you're in luck. The February issue of Lutheran Witness is all about Lutheranism and world religions. Visit cph.org/witness to purchase a copy, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Calvary Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Faith Lutheran, Groton, Connecticut. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Emmanuel Lutheran, Sheridan, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Redeemer Lutheran, Benbrook, Texas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. And Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. When you hear the word faith today, it probably does not mean what the New Testament means when it uses the word faith. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February, Faith Misused, Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion, is the case for a Christian reclamation of that word faith from its ambiguous modern uses. You can find out more about this new book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Faith Misused, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about liturgical living with Kristen Einertsen. She's author of the blog, All the Household. Kristen, why should church traditions become our family traditions?
So the thing with traditions is that we already have them. I mean, you mentioned this in terms of how we already celebrate a lot of these days. Families already have things that they do together, whether that's watching the Super Bowl, having Saturday morning pancakes, reading certain stories, singing certain songs, or even just the way that they celebrate holidays, whether they're secular or sacred. And so I think if we acknowledge the fact that we're already doing a lot of these things, it makes incorporating the church traditions into our home lives a lot less intimidating. And so by fusing together these two types of traditions, we can just ensure that the things that we are doing together and that we hold closely to us and our family are going to be the things that reflect God and help and to teach and strengthen us in the faith.
You had mentioned that the Christians there, the Lutherans there in Latvia, had incorporated these liturgical traditions into the home in part because they had suffered persecution in the past. Do you think that applies nicely to us today as Christians increasingly face being at odds with our culture, the possibility of persecution, these home traditions becoming a way to not only prepare for it, but to weather it?
Certainly. I mean, I think that that's some of the increasing popularity of using these traditions in the home as well, is that we relate to the martyrs and the saints that we're learning about that were persecuted in the faith. And I'm sure that that's the case with the Latvians as well. I mean, by using these traditions and recalling them in times of trouble, as you mentioned, that can be one of the best ways that we really remember the faith that we've come from, the people that have gone before us, and are able to look at those things as being able to help us get through the future, whatever that may bring.
Another value I see here, Kristen, is related to the repetition, is that there's the repetition kind of weekly, that is, every Sunday morning, there is in the propers the liturgy that is teaching us and our children. But then taking it into the home allows that repetition to get writ large over years. If every year you're celebrating the Saints' Day with your children as a family, they get the best of both home and church. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that that's one of the greatest things about the church's calendar is that it does a brilliant job of focusing not only on the here and now, the day-to-day parts of our lives, but then it keeps getting scaled outward in terms of month by month and year by year. And over time, if you've been celebrating these days and adhering to the traditions over a lifetime or a long period of time, I can only imagine that the way that you're able to connect to those stories and days and just the faith as a whole is that much richer than whether you're just doing things here or there or trying to celebrate someday without having repetition be a part of it.
Finally, you're a new mother, so you're just starting out this project for your family as it grows. What is your hope that when your children are ready to have their own homes, their own families, what do you hope to have given them in this liturgical living?
I just hope that they have the foundation that they would be able to continue and carry those traditions on to their own families. I would hope that they look back on their childhood and remember that the way that we taught them the faith was fun and something that was incorporated in their day-to-day lives and not just something that happened once or twice a week or that we outsourced to youth groups or people that weren't part of the home life. I mean, that's one of the best parts of engaging in this project and being able to talk about how we celebrate these traditions in the family. When my husband and I have had these conversations, is that we just get excited about how we are able to give our children the foundation in the faith that they will hopefully be able to take with them for the rest of their lives.
Kristen Einertsen is a wife of a seminarian and mother of an infant son. She is author of the blog All the Household, and she's a PhD student in rhetoric at the University of Minnesota. You'll find a link to All the Household at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Kristen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning when we celebrate the Transfiguration of our Lord with Pastor David Peterson of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.